Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink. Drink.
Hi-yo!
Hi-yo!
Oh. So you were saying before,
right before we got on air,
recording.
Yeah, I'm on the drive over here tonight, and Murder on My Mind was on in the car, and I thought of you.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do frequently have Murder on My Mind, especially driving.
Oof.
And I actually figured out what it is. I've got a theory about road rage, actually. So you know when somebody's performing some manual task and you're watching them, like some asshole that doesn't know how to type. Is trying to type on a keyboard and they're fucking it up. And you're just like, hey, just get out of the way. Let me do that.
Yeah.
That's the same feeling you have when you're driving, but you can't do anything. I can't jump into somebody else's car and show them how to merge. So it's just pure anger and frustration.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, it's listening to people chew or drink loudly.
Really?
Yeah. That's what really sets me the fuck off. The driving thing, I feel like I've got my fuck off face like mastered down to an art form. So I feel all right in that, like road rage for me living in LA for fucking 80 years, you know, it's impossible to get road rage anymore because you're moving like 3 inches at a time. And when you live in a town of like 250,000 people, it's great. So you're like, the traffic doesn't seem like anything anymore. But listening to people chew or drinking really grinds my ball sack down a cheese grater. You know?
No, I get it for sure. That's one of the things, for those of you who have been in a relationship, like, you know, when you're in a relationship and things start to go sour and all the cute little fucking idiosyncrasies you thought were great in the beginning start to like wear on you, chewing and smacking gum and shit like that has got to be one of the first things that turns. That's why
easily.
I've got this, like,
shitting with the door open.
Oh, well, I mean, that's fine.
If she does
it? I don't actually mind that. Yeah, that's fine. No, it's gross. Don't do that. And don't shit with me in the room either. I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to do that.
No, I don't either.
Here's the thing with that. Everything you've ever smelled, you've also tasted, because that's how smell works.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, smell works because your taste buds. That's God, how you're smelling.
Man, I didn't even want to know that today. I had food poisoning earlier this morning.
Oh, shit.
It was a mess. What I was smelling, I wanted no one in the history of man to smell, even my worst enemies.
Yeah, that's the thing. So why would I want to walk in and taste your feces?
No, I get it, man. You know, reminds me of that Vegas Golden Knights game the other night. I felt like tasted someone else's feces watching that game 7 against San Jose. Wow, man. What the fuck happened there? Have you ever seen anything like that in your life? I haven't.
I've never seen a 4-goal turnaround that fast ever. No.
In 4 minutes. I mean, first of all, they shouldn't have called a 5-minute major. Like, there's no fucking way in hell. I don't think you do that in the third period. And I didn't think the hit was that bad to warrant a 5-minute major. Do you?
No, I mean, the NHL agrees with you. They fucking apologized, said the call is fucked up. So obviously it wasn't a good call. Not only was it not a good call, but unless something is like severe and egregious at that point in the game, you can't fucking make that call, man. You can't make a call that's going to change the outcome of the game unless it's, I mean, that, like, look at the NBA playoffs. They get away with a lot more in the playoffs than they ever do during the regular season. And we're seeing some of that in this Warriors Rocket series too.
Yeah, that, you know, to go back to that Vegas Golden Knights series, because we lost on that one, and that one hurts. That one hurts. That they got Saints. When I was talking to you during that game, I was like, man, they got Saints. Like, that's the worst call that completely affected a series for a team that could go to the championship, that could compete for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, since last year, for sure. Since the Saints, that's probably the worst call in the playoffs. I mean, it's maybe not worst, but most impactful. Although that Saints call might be one of the worst calls I've ever seen in any sport ever.
Both, man. I'll say onesie-twosies on it just because of the outcome. And I mean, the fact that they sat out the referee for the next two playoff games tells you, you know, the NHL knows everybody fucked up. And Vegas was a fan favorite. You know, they're a fucking blast to watch. The other one that was shocking, because there was 3 Game 7s last week, which was the most wonderful time of all time, along with the NFL draft. And I was really shocked that Carolina came back and pulled that out in overtime. That was a nice thing, Dan.
Yeah, it was good. I mean,
I picked them in the Stanley Cups against Vegas Golden Knights. So once the Knights went down, I had to redeem myself. So luckily they snuck through.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see the Capitals go out, although, Carolina seemed hungry in that series, and the Caps didn't. Ovechkin didn't really do a whole lot. Backstrom kind of did everything in that series for them, which isn't, I mean, if you have a 1-2 punch like that, if two is stepping up, that's fine, but one's got to do something, man. And he didn't really do much except for fucking put some guy in the hospital.
Yeah, and it's, that's going to put your team right in the fucking shitter, bro. The shitter, Ovechkin. I think he had a hangover, too, from last year. Nobody partied harder than that fucking dude after he won the Stanley Cup. So, you know, he's fine to sit out of here. Plus, what is he? He's got to be, what, 36, 37?
That is a good question.
He's
got
to be getting up there.
He's definitely in his mid-30s.
Yeah. Either way, man, it's fun watching him play. He'll be back next year. They'll be fine. Now all of my hopes and dreams are pinned to Carolina. So we'll see what happens. They're up 2-0 in their series right now, which is rad.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they'll keep going, because I'm going to be there in North Carolina with you in a couple of weeks.
And yeah.
They're still playing then, and they have a home game, because we'll go to that fucking game.
I know. It's in Raleigh. It's right down the road, man. I'm stoked. Yeah.
For the fans out there, we were going to go to a Spurs playoff game here, but they got shithouse. They got fucking rocked the other night.
They did. And I'll be with you in San Antoine tomorrow night, raging our dicks off. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to get into this NFL draft. But first, Anthony, we got some sponsors to put this whole shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, you know what, man? I was going to say Black Rifle Coffee. We all know about the magic of Black Rifle Coffee at this point, how great they are. The pay-as-you-go type of deal per month, the subscription of the month club, you know, which is nice. Credit card just gets charged right before they ship it to you. Promo code SPORTS for 20% off, and that's great. But more importantly, after 3 fucking years, Matt Best book is on pre-sale. on Amazon and worldwide. Holy fucking shit, man. That was 3 years, almost 3 years ago to the day. So when we started writing that, and man, the 17 months of the Department of Defense, everything. So it's called Thank You for My Service. It is available on pre-sale right now. Buy the hardcover because that's what's going to get us on the New York Times bestseller list. They've got a special hardcover list, and that's the easiest and best way to do it. So please just go and buy one hardcover. Just pre-sales are important. Just buy one and then we're good to go. I won't bother you about it anymore. But it's fucking hilarious, man. And it's a groundbreaking book. Nobody's ever tackled military with this type of humor. It's in the vein of like Deadpool, but it's all like true stories. So it's a fucking blast. So go out and pre-order it now. Next up, D'Anthony, we're talking about mybookie.com. Yeah. I will say this, Dan, they did hit us up and they want to have a conversation a week from tomorrow. I don't know if it's good or bad.
I mean, I know we've been killing them, so they may actually, it might be like one of those Italian movies where they're going to invite us out to dinner and then somebody's going to walk up behind us and fucking ace us in the back of the head. Hopefully it's not that. Although, you know, my soul's been dead
for a long time. We've killed them this year. Those game sevens were fucking brutal last week, but whatever. We got one out of three, I guess. Game sevens are tough. But yeah, mybookie.com, man, doubling deposits from 100 all the way to 3,000. My big bet over the weekend was I took the Warriors, that Warriors game, and I took Houston plus the points. They were getting a lot of fucking points, man. And I couldn't, it was 6.5. I was really surprised by that. I was surprised the Warriors also won. But we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Go to mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposits from 100 all the way to 3,000. Bet with us or against us before they pull us off their sites. Last but not least, talking about ghostbed.com/drinking bros. We're doing a lot of big stuff with Ghostbed coming up in the future. And we're excited, man. I love these goddamn mattresses. I love the pillows. I love the adjustable bases, the sheets. If you were military or first responder, there is a permanent 15% discount. Dude, and when you're using that on a mattress, that's a big savings, especially when it's a pay-as-you-go program, no interest for 36 months. You can pay off a goddamn bed in 3 years if you want, which is incredible, man. We love ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Go there now, dude. If you're a regular civilian like myself, they've also got a shit ton of deals. That Ghost Lux mattress, $200 off right now and free pillows. Do it, do it, do it. Fuck a prosty in it. Let us know about it. We want to have a call-in show. Remember we were talking about that earlier, having a 1-800 number?
Yeah, we're definitely going to get a 1-800 number sometime soon, probably in the next month or so. And then in addition to that, we're going to do some themed call-in shows, and one of them is going to be about your best ghost bed stories. If you're one of those people out there, and we know you're out there because they report back to us how many of you guys have actually bought these things, and it's a ton of people. I want to hear your most fucked up sex stories for ghost beds, like on a ghost bed. I want
to
hear it.
I was talking to them the other day on the phone, man, and they said somebody called in that their dog had ate their bed and posted a picture of it, and Ghost Bed sent them a new one.
I'm not surprised by that. Ghost Bed is like the Chick-fil-A of mattress companies.
I know. No, big fan of those guys, man. Again, doing some big things with them in the future. Proud to have them as a sponsor.
Oh, and you can buy ghost beds on Sunday, though, by the way. So it's not exactly like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Look, Chick-fil-A, they only have one weakness. And that's you can't order on Sunday. Like, it's closed on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's God's chicken, right? They're making chicken for God that day.
I guess. I don't know.
I want to talk about this Warriors game yesterday. I bet it. There was a brief period of time where I felt confident the entire game, especially going into halftime. It was tied up. It was a lot of points. I took Houston. I wasn't sure about those injuries to Curry or Klay Thompson. Both of them ended up playing. Draymond Green, man, who I've been down on all year, had a lights out game. He was incredible in that. And Durant has been playing out of his fucking mind this entire playoffs, man, and it's been a joy to watch. But the one thing that overshadowed the game was these fucking non-foul calls on James Harden. What's your stance on these?
I mean, if you design your game as a jump shooter around drawing contact, I think that's that is what it is. I mean, it's a style. The problem with it is that the competition committee for the NBA comes up with certain rules, and they enforce them the way they're supposed to be enforced. So here's the problem from Houston's point of view, is that those kind of calls were made all season, but they're not being made in the playoffs. But in what playoffs have more challenging defensive plays and more rough or rougher defense not been the status quo? It's always like that. They always let them play in the playoffs. And the other issue I see with Harden in particular, and you saw it on that last, not the last play of the game, but that last 3-point shot that he took. The defender did jump forward a little bit and landed in his landing zone, but Harden jumped forward as well. And I've been listening to a lot of ESPN guys over the last couple of days. Not that they're necessarily the most, knowledgeable on the subject. I think there's some better basketball minds out there. But the guys who actually played the game, like Paul Pierce, for example, said the defender is entitled to some space at some point. Like if Harden jumps up from 28 feet and he lands at 23 feet where the goddamn 3-point line is, that's a lot of distance, man. If you look at the replay for that last shot he took, if the defender had jumped straight up and down, he still would have landed where Harden landed because he jumped forward so much. To me, you can't call a foul on that.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. Like, you know, when I was watching the game, it appears as if Harden is also jumping into these people, and so is Chris Paul. Now, I think there was a couple times where it looked like the defender leaned into them, but you know, when they showed that line, I think it was Steve Javi, that retired referee who's working the NBA playoffs. When he showed that line on the court from where Harden's jumping from versus where these defenders are jumping from, what are you going to do at that point? I've never seen a three-point shooter jump from that far out into, you know, towards the line into a defender like that. If you watch Steph Curry shoot, threes, right? Simple, quick pop, boom, he's out of there. Durant, quick pop, boom, he's out of there. Klay Thompson, quick pop, boom, he's out of there. The only person I can really remember, three-point shooting-wise, who did shit like James Harden did was Reggie Miller. That's the only one.
Yeah, he would kick his legs out on pretty much every fucking shot.
Every shot. And that's what it seemed like James Harden was doing. And then his presser after the game was, you know, I just want a fair shake and I'm not being treated fairly. It's like, motherfucker, you're the reigning MVP. Yes, you are being treated fairly. Stop jumping into people. Get your shot off and get the fuck out of there. So I'm curious to see, you know, if that changes or they try to get in his head even more in game two.
I think here's the problem with that. Like if I'm Draymond Green, I want to get in his head. But if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm like, hey, look, just play the same exact game you just played. Like do what you do, but keep your fucking mouth shut, because if Draymond starts talking shit, then the refs are going to have to respond to it. Like it's like that. It's like if you're speeding on the highway and you go past a cop, don't tap your brakes. Any cop, all you police officers out there, that's like a fucking, I don't know if you guys, if Ross, if you've ever heard this before, if you guys have ever heard this, it's like, look, let's all pretend like it didn't happen. I don't feel like chasing you and doing the paperwork, but if you start tapping your brakes and slowing down real fast, then I have to go pull you over. If you're Draymond Green, play your same game, challenge him defensively, but don't fucking talk shit. Talk shit to everybody else on the court. Talk shit to Clint Capella. Talk shit to everybody, but not James Harden. That's what I say about that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I saw that tech coming a mile away when he got it, and I wasn't surprised.
Oh, yeah.
He seems to always be surprised, but I wasn't surprised. I was like, man, you were an asshole to the referee. Of course you're getting a technical foul on that. So
yeah,
it is what it is.
You know, it's funny in the post game press conference, they were asking Draymond about Harden's comments about being fouled. And he goes, "Look, I got fouled 3 times tonight by James Harden while he was shooting.
Yeah.
So you know, don't come at me with that bullshit." And I agree with him. That dude has made a living from drawing contact, and that's good. He's fast. He's quick to the rim.
A lot of the girls you date are quick to the rim.
Yeah. I mean, look, I explained to them that there are a ton of nerve endings in the ass. And by the way, today is fucking You got one more day. This airs Tuesday, right?
Yeah, man. They've
oh, look, my God, this, dude.
You've got hours left to get your rimmers on, dude.
By the time this comes out, you're going to have about 4 hours of ass-eating season left. Don't let it go to waste, guys. Yeah. Go out Tuesday night, eat some ass before it gets too hot. You don't want to fucking miss it.
You know, the only brutal part about May 1st falling on a Tuesday is that it's Taco Tuesday in a lot of cities all over America. There could be some unhappy ass-eaters. But look, it is the last day. It's like, you know, the end of hunting season. So use your own, you know, brain on this one. Like, if she's got some hot sauce underneath her fingernails, you know she had a few tacos, you know, mid-afternoon, maybe at lunch or in the cubicle. So just be cautious is all I'm asking. Maybe bib up, you know, you don't want to get shit all over yourself. So maybe wear a bib.
Do they make bibs specifically for ass eating?
No, but if you get one from Red Lobster, it's kind of the same, just tied a little tighter, you know, that plastic.
You know what
bib.
We should do? We should make a Drinking Bros brand ass eating kit, and it's a whole cleaning. It's like a douche, so you can clean out their butthole a little bit. And it's got, have you seen those
we actually had a sponsor for a while who did that. It was grenadesoap.com.
oh yeah, they had the taint scrubber.
Yeah.
And that's right,
and it was right in time for ass eating season. So it does exist, but I, you know, I'm thinking something happier, like a SpongeBob, you know, type of thing. And you know, if you dot it, obviously you got to wash it a little harder. But you know, it's always nice when you wipe and you come out on brown. You know,
I always like that joke from Parks and Rec where Chris Pratt, he's at the doctor's office and he says, "No matter how much I wipe, there's still stuff." He's like, "It's like a marker."
Yeah,
it's sticking out of my butt, and there's just like a streak down the paper. No matter how many times I wipe, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, and there's a lot of women out there, so be careful on this last night of ass eating season. What'd you think of the NFL draft, Daniel?
Well, I mean, there's one glaring pick.
Kyler Murray.
I'm sure. we all knew that was going to happen.
No, the Daniel Jones pick, is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen. But, you know, frankly, it doesn't make sense to me now. But
didn't make sense to me then either.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean now, like in present day, but 2 years from now, maybe it makes sense. I really don't know. Like the Patriots drafted Tom Brady, and nobody thought he would ever play a game in the NFL, and he's probably the best quarterback that we've ever seen. At least, you know, he's put up the best numbers and won the most championships. So
yeah, look, it is possible to get a great pick, you know, obviously later in the draft, but at that point, it's almost a coin toss. The Patriots have been able to do it better than anyone else in this league for the last 15 years somehow. I mean, fuck, all of their guys are no-name guys who eventually become these weird superstars within that team, and it's like a group of Mayans building a fucking pyramid on that goddamn team. They all work together, nobody says anything, and then all of a sudden, boom, at the end of the day, the task is done, and they won another Super Bowl. This year, I was surprised that they actually stayed in the first round, because they usually trade out of it. They stayed in the first round, and they got a big name receiver. I like that N'Keal Harry pickup from Arizona State. That guy's a big guy who could become a superstar. That was like one of the few times the Patriots that I can remember in the last few years where they picked, and I actually looked up and I was like, oh shit, they could have a superstar in their hand. This guy could have 8 touchdowns in fantasy football this year. Like, I genuinely believe that, and I was super surprised by that. Kyler Murray thing, man. Look, we knew this was going to happen. It still didn't seem real. I
can't, like, who the fuck at the beginning of the college football season, before Kingsbury was hired to coach in Arizona, no one on earth would have. I didn't even think Kyler Murray would get drafted, to be honest.
I didn't either. And look, I didn't know what kind of player he was going to be. Baker Mayfield knew. He said right after he left last year, this guy will be win the Heisman Trophy, go number one in the draft, and break all my records. I thought it was a fucking joke. And especially when he signed that deal for baseball. What did he get? $3.6 million, close to $4 million.
Yeah, that was good.
Here's where things get super interesting for me, because, you know, whether or not you believe in a God or something else, something happened here in this fucking situation. Not only does this kid have to play lights out this year, which he does, ends up winning the Heisman, which he does, decides to skip baseball and ask the Oakland A's. He said, look, I will play baseball, but I want you to raise that four to a $15 million. You give me $15 million, I will sign this baseball contract now, and I will fucking play ball, and that's it. The Oakland A's, in like the nth hour, balked on it, assuming that he would go, you know, end of the first or second, third, who knows. Not only did he not do that, but he goes number one. That contract's probably going to be, what, $40, $45 million?
For a rookie contract, yeah, it's going to be something like that.
For the number one pick in the draft, right? And the only reason he's number one is because Arizona fires their coach, picks up Cliff Kingsbury, who's been recruiting this kid for eight fucking years. This has been his dream kid since high school, and becomes coach of this team who's willing to trade the first round draft pick that was a quarterback that they had last year in Josh Rosen. You need a million pieces to come together for this to happen, and it all did. And, you know, when he walked up onto the stage, it looked like we represent the lollipop land. Like, he's still so fucking tiny to me. I couldn't get over it. There was a meme going around of him standing on a stool with Roger Goodell. And, like, my wife, who's not, you know, she loves fantasy football, but she's not into the draft because she's like, dude, I don't know this fucking kid, right? Even she popped her head in, was just like, hey, man, is he like 3'8"? Like, is that the legal maximum, you know, minimum for a midget?
I was worried that the Goodell was just going to dunk on him.
It looks like it, man. I mean, it was the size difference between the two of them, between Roger Goodell and the number one pick in the draft, was astounding to me. And then yet here we are, man. You know, they interviewed the dad. He seemed like a calm, collected, you know, ghost face killer that he had raised. And he was just like, yeah, man, I was expecting this. I was quarterback. He's quarterback. And this is great.
That's one thing about him that makes me think that like he might actually be successful in the NFL is he seems completely unaffected by everything. Like when you watch him during he didn't have a whole lot of failures during the college season this past year, but right. What he just came back onto the field and started executing again. I feel like he's very mentally tough, and we've seen small quarterbacks who are mentally tough, like Drew Brees, for example,
technically
on paper.
And
he's only an inch taller, and then Doug Flutie is as short as fuck too. I mean, we've seen that happen before. I just don't believe that Kingsbury's system is going to work in the NFL. I think the outside linebackers and the defensive ends are too fast.
I did too, man. And I think he's going to get lit up. And we saw it in that Alabama game. Remember the first half of that Alabama game against Oklahoma? Kyler Murray got – I thought he was going to die on the field. I made a joke of it on Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. And if you don't belong there, go and join. We talk shit and give away free jerseys all the time, signed jerseys. And I made a joke that Kyler Murray just died. Like, he looked like he had been killed in the second quarter and he was not returning. He did return, and he looked pretty goddamn decent the second half, but a lot of those plays, man, he was sprinting for his life, and I think that's what it's going to be in the NFL, and I'm with you. I think a defense will pick up on them and bury that little fucker, but that's me, and that's the way I feel about Baker Mayfield, and he's taller than Kyler Murray. So,
yeah. I mean, but you know, what they say about Mayfield and Murray, despite their height, is that they can make all five throws. Yeah, technically they can, I guess. I mean, I don't know, unless you have a tight end that's, you know, 6'4" in that range, like those over the top plays, that check down pass that's against a 3-4 base defense, that's going to be a problem for you sometimes, guy.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like there's those little intangible elements to the game where being a little bit taller gives you an advantage.
I agree. And, you know, if Cliff Kingsbury is trying to say that, you know, he's going to make the same throws as Pat Mahomes when he was coaching him at Texas Tech, brother, you've got another thing coming. Pat Mahomes is on a different level, and height-wise, physicality, all of it. So it is what it is. We'll see what happens to Arizona. I can tell you this, though. It'll be a fun team to watch.
I mean, if David Johnson plays like he played 2 or 3 years ago, it would be a super fun team to watch.
Yeah. So we'll see. The second pick in the draft was, no surprise there, Nick Bosa. We called that, you know, the only thing I was surprised about was his contrition afterwards, for all the Trump tweets that he made and deleted on, Twitter. Man, it sucks. You got drafted by San Francisco and it's super liberal and you have to come out and make a statement like that. You know, the day after you get drafted number 2 in the draft.
fuck you guys. I like Nick Bosa. He's a great dude. Not the brightest, if you've seen his interviews. He's
he's a bro for sure.
Yeah, he's a Gronk in the making right there. That whole family is a Gronk style family, and I'm here for all of it because those guys are legends on the field. Gronkowski and the Bosas. So I'm here for all of their shenanigans.
I'm super irritated by his advisor probably told him to do that, but if it were me, I'd be like, look, man, you can go fuck it. I'm the best defensive player in this draft. He's a fucking likely future Hall of Famer if he stays healthy just based on his physical talent. San Francisco, you can go fuck yourself. Like, I'm, you know me.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about politics at all. Couldn't care less. And I'll never openly support any candidate over another. I just don't believe in that shit. But if I had and the team, because of their geographic location and the fucking affinity groups that live in those areas, were like, had a problem with, I did, I'd be like, that's fine. Fucking send me to somewhere else, bro.
Yeah, and you know, the first one who fired up her Twitter fingers was Jameel Hill, who got fired from ESPN. She goes, oh, I love my 49ers, but I'm so disappointed in this pick. Fuck you. There's a reason why you got fired from ESPN. You don't pass on this kid, and none of those tweets were that fucking bad. What he called Kaepernick a clown. And the other thing too that I want to address is, you know, Trump tweeted out congratulations to Nick Bosa, and there was a bunch of people online who tried to make it a racial thing of like, you congratulated the number two pick who was white, but not the number one pick who was black. Race doesn't have anything to do with it. And all these people were coming down on Bosa for supporting the president of the United States. Get fucked, you know. All he was thanking him was for his support. It had nothing to do with race. Don't tie it in any fucking categories. The media is the one who made it about race, and they made it about, you know, supporting our president. So everybody can get fucked on that statement. I don't buy into it.
No, that's really stupid. I mean, first of all, isn't Bosa like a Czech name or something like that? It's not like he's from fucking Western Europe or some shit. But anyway,
yeah,
who gives a shit?
He's not a, you know, he's not a Remy. By the way, RIP,
no.
RIP to Singleton, dude. John Singleton, that sucks. Who directed Higher Learning? He just passed away today. But Remy, he's not a Remy,
yes,
dude.
I saw Rappaport make a fucking post about that. They were good friends, apparently.
Yeah, he did a few movies for him, man. You know, he's been on this show. He's been on Ross Patterson Revolution. I like Rappaport. I don't support his political beliefs, but him as a person, he's a good dude. In real life, he doesn't really talk that much shit about politics.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was sad to see that that he passed away. But yeah, number three here was Quinnen Williams, Alabama. No surprise there. I almost thought, you know, it's a coin toss between him and Bosa for the best players in the draft overall. So the Jets, man, this is exactly who we said they would pick. And I said if they got him, they would be trouble next year. And I think they are, man. I think the Jets are going to be trouble with... they shored up their defense. They picked up a bunch of free agents. This is a great, great choice here at two or at three.
Yeah, it is.
Now four is where I've got issues. This was your boy, Cleland Farrell. I liked him as well, but at the end of the first round, not reaching at four. Like, he would have been there at the end of the first round, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Gruden is a hard-headed guy. Everybody knows that. I'm surprised that he took Farrell right here. I don't know if he didn't think he would still be around at their next pick, which was 24. So that is kind of far down the list. But there were only the only other defensive end taken, I think, after him was Rashawn Gary from Michigan. After that, so I don't think Farrell was coming off the board anyways.
Yeah, well, look, Montez Sweat was there and L.J. Collier, but like, you know, yes, he would have been there at 24. Montez Sweat and L.J. Collier went after him. So, man, I just think that's a reach. That I don't know what the fuck they're doing there. I just have a hard time with this team. I saw Mel Kiper after the draft actually pick them to go to the playoffs and say fuck you to the haters and start chucking it to homeboy. Look, they got Josh Jacobs at the end of the first, that running back out of Alabama. He's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
I think he could have a fine career, but this one was a reach for me up here. You could have gone with somebody else here. Next up, Devin White out of LSU, inside linebacker. I'm fine with that at number five. Daniel Jones at six for the Giants. Are the Giants the new Cleveland Browns? Yes or no?
Oh, man. After this pick, man, I got to say yes. Look, you and I have watched Daniel Jones play football.
He's terrible, man. All those games are on here in North Carolina.
I didn't see, like, Clemson in the ACC has a great defense. I think they were the second best defense in the nation last year, right? They were right behind Michigan, I think. So they played one super good defense this year, and then they played the ACC. And the ACC defensively has never, ever been on the map, ever. And he still sucked against them. I mean, I don't fucking get this, dude.
I don't either.
He was a zero-star fucking recruit, I believe somebody referred to him as.
Yeah, and, you know, look, again, living in North Carolina, all of these North Carolina and Duke games are televised. So is, like, Wake Forest, right? And it's on free, and it's always on, and they knock off the other games because they're the local team, and you're kind of forced into watching it if you want to. I watched him play against Wake Forest. Wake Forest is a terrible football team. And
they're a D2 team.
Yeah. The score was Wake Forest 45. Duke had like six or seven points. Daniel Jones, if memory serves me correct, only threw for like 145 yards in that game against Wake Forest, who is abysmal. I don't know what you saw. And I believe that was like the last regular season game for them. I don't think they made a bowl game, but I could be wrong, Duke. If you're watching that as a scout, and that was the last game you saw of him, what made you draft him at six? I thought for sure Haskins was going, and so did everybody else and their mother.
Same. And Haskins thought that too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he was pissed off. Pissed.
What did he say? The league done messed up.
The league
or some
done
shit like
messed
that?
Up. And we had some. I posted that quote on our Facebook page. And we had some people say, "Man, I don't know if Haskins is that good. Maybe not. We don't know."
He threw
50 touchdowns last year. But here's the thing: even if you disagree on whether or not he's going to be great in the NFL, one thing is for certain: he was the greatest quarterback in this draft, and he should have gone first. So, man, the Redskins. Remember, we had talked about a weird dreamlike scenario, Vanilla Sky, where he fell all the way down to the Redskins and it was a steal. And no way, shape, or form did I think that was actually going to happen, and it did. We talked about that on the last show. So I think the Browns have completely turned their organization around. The Giants have gone straight into the ground. The owner couldn't even name what conference Daniel Jones played in after he got picked. I mean, it was crazy, dude. So, yeah, I think the Giants are the new Browns. And if you're a Giants fan, that sucks to hear, man, because you probably have the best young running back in the league in Saquon Barkley, but you've got nothing to go with that kid. That's just a heaping pile of shit. And a 38, 39-year-old Eli Manning, good luck, man. If I were them, I'd almost sit out Barkley half the season and try to keep him fresh.
I really am. Yeah, no shit. He may get shut down week 12, week 13. I like watching the fan reaction videos.
The best.
I've been watching those all week.
The Giants fans.
Here's what I want to see: Saquon Barkley's reaction video when they fucking drafted this guy.
Yeah, boy.
Is he like, motherfuck, I'm just going to smoke weed. Fuck this. What's the point?
I would at that point, man. I mean, either that or make a goddamn audio tape of you, you know, talking about beating your kid, you know, so you can get out of playing for a year. Tyreek Hill, RIP, man. Mahomes gets the cover of Madden, and then I think it was 8 minutes after the cover was released, they released that audio of Tyreek Hill. The curse is real, folks. Yeah. The Madden curse is real. Next up, we got Josh Allen going to Jacksonville. It's from out of Kentucky. That's a great pick. TJ Hockenson, the tight end from Iowa.
I thought that was a really good pick. That Hockenson pick is, yeah. I think you and I talked about this in the last show, but if you're the Lions and you can pick up one good or like one great player on your defense, which is kind of subpar, how much difference is that going to make versus bringing on another guy for Stafford to throw to and make your offense really good? They're not going to shut down any teams on defense. You may as well stack that offense. And Hockenson was definitely the best tight end of this draft.
Yeah, and look, you know, I love that Kerryon Johnson kid in the backfield. You got Matt Stafford. You got Kenny Golladay. Now you have Hockenson. Yeah. Like, you've got some weapons now to fuck shit up. So I love that pick by Detroit. Man, I would love to see them have a good year just once. That'd be a great thing to see in my lifetime.
Yeah, I think, the Packers are going to suck this year probably. So you got to depend on Minnesota and Detroit to keep that whole fucking division alive, really.
Yeah, weird, man. We'll get to the Packers in a second, but they're a weird team right now. Ed Oliver.
Yep.
Went number 9 to the Bills. That was a good choice. Again, the only thing we don't know is those Houston defenses that he was playing at in college. We'll see, but everybody else and their mother loves him. Full disclosure, you know, it's not like we were watching that many Houston Cougars games. Number 10 went to Devin Bush. Devin Bush, man, great fucking player. I understand why the Steelers traded up for him, and I think this is a big boy pickup. We had to face that motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. He might be the best linebacker in the draft. Between him and Devin White, I don't know. I don't know who's the better. We saw Devin White play in person. He was very, very good. But
really fucking good. Look, this Devin Bush kid.
Devin Bush is a fucking stud.
Yeah,
man.
He's great. And look, prayers up to Ryan Shazier. Hopefully, he can come back. As well. I know. Yep. He wants to play. I know it seems like it's out of the possibility now, but he is walking, he is working out. Nothing would make me happier than to see him line up with Devin Bush back there for the Steelers. Because we went to a Steelers game, man. That's a fun town. It's a fun ballpark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a great place to watch football. This kind of brings up one of the very interesting things going on in sports this week. So, Vegas is saying that the Browns will not make the playoffs this year.
I know, man. I read that. And, you know, they're over under for wins, I think, was 10.5 on my bookie.
It's, yeah, they're expecting, like, ESPN called it 11-5 season. That's what they think they're going to get. And they think that they're going to go 11-5 and not make the playoffs. Here's my problem with that. They're presuming that the Ravens are going to repeat their magic season from, and it wasn't that great of a season.
Not going to happen. I'm with you.
But,
yeah.
But they have, I mean, that quarterback is retarded. Like, there's no way there's longevity there. And then they lost their leading tackler, CJ Mosley. So, I mean, they depended on their defense. They lost their best defensive player this year. And then you're talking about Pittsburgh, who went 9-6-1 last year. And what did they really do to improve? Yeah, they beefed up their defense, but their defense is already 6th in the league, and they still only went 9-6-1. And they don't have a second receiver after Smith-Schuster, really. Like, right. Somebody might step up like Connor did last year, but you don't know that's going to happen. So
no, Roethlisberger's 38 years old, too. Some point, he's got to be slowing down.
He's got to be, and you're telling me that the team of Mayfield, who's proven he can play in the NFL now, I mean, he may have a sophomore slump, but he's definitely proven he can play. You have Nick Chubb, you have Jarvis Landry, you have fucking OBJ and Joku, all in their fucking offense. I mean, come on, man. If they're going to win 11 games in that division, they're making the fucking playoffs. So go to my bookie right now, and fucking, I would bet the over on the 10.5 wins, yeah. And I would bet that Cleveland's going to make the playoffs. You're going to get great odds right now, and those odds are going to change sometime soon. I guarantee.
Well,
you that.
Right when the season starts, right, yeah, is when those odds are going to swing drastically. I'm in on the Browns this year. I'm all in. To me, it's the most exciting team in football, and I love their draft, man. I was a big fan of Greedy Williams, huge fan. And I thought he should have gone in the first round, but he didn't.
Same.
And the Browns have done everything right the last, I don't know, 6 months, man, and it's been hilarious to watch because I never thought it would happen. I thought the Browns would be the Browns, but whoever's making decisions now, man, I'm a fan. So I think the over on the Browns is likely. I've got them at 11 wins, and I'm with you. I don't think Baltimore's that great. Pittsburgh is rebuilding, and you know, you got OBJ and fucking Landry and those guys, man. It's a brutal team you're going up against now.
Seriously, OBJ and Kareem Landry. Hunt. You got Nick Chubb in the backfield and Kareem Hunt. I mean, what the fuck, dude?
No, it's crazy. It's a video game. You know, and his sophomore slump might be postponed due to the fact that you can just throw it up in the air 500 style to OBJ and call it a day. So we'll see what happens with Mayfield, but they're making all the right moves. You know, Yep. I don't know that Green Bay is at 12 here. They picked Rashawn Gary.
Ugh.
I'm not even going to go into the Bungles who picked Jonah Williams at 11. I don't know why you didn't take Haskins there. That would have put asses in the seats and got rid of your Andy Dalton problem. But the Bungles will be the Bungles.
Yep.
Rashawn Gary at 12. That's fine, I guess, for Green Bay. But, man, you need a lot of other pieces.
That honestly makes me think they're trying to push Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay. Like, how do you not go get your fucking star quarterback an offensive weapon when he has one guy to throw to right now that's a proven fucking guy?
It's crazy. I mean,
they have no one in the backfield. They have one receiver that most people believe, pound for pound, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. Success doesn't really prove that out because he hasn't played on any good teams ever, really. I mean, he's played on some pretty good teams. He's never played on a great team. How do you as an organization not go out and fucking do something for this guy? I would be furious if I was him right now.
Yeah, man. I don't know what the deal is. I really don't. I have no answers for Green Bay Packers fans. I think they're going to have another 9-7 season, and that's going to be about it. Maybe 10-6 if Rodgers can carry that team on his back again, but we'll see if he's got another miracle season left in him. At 13.
Oh, hey, we got some. Just a sec. We got some breaking news here. It looks like Josh Gordon has signed with the Patriots again.
You're kidding. Is that real? Wow. I
just saw it on ESPN. I'm trying to find
the story about it.
Yeah, hang on a sec. That's that's interesting.
Yeah, look,
very, very,
they're the only ones who know what happened to him. I assume that he flunked the drug test and then got out of the league, and that was it. I don't know the answer for this. Yeah, he signed a restricted free agent tender for a return to the Patriots if he plays in 2019. I'm assuming they said if because they're trying to figure out this drug sitch here or whatever the fuck it was he left the team for.
Well, they must have some reason to believe he can get out of it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have even bothered with that, I imagine.
I imagine so, too. We'll see. I know Goodell's a big fan of him, and he's tried. But, I mean, dude, you can only flunk 90 drug tests before you're probably thrown out of the league.
No shit.
So, I mean, good on you, I guess. But either way, they got N'Keal Henry out of Arizona State. So, I think the Patriots will be just fine at the end of the day, with or without Josh Gordon. Now 13, pick 13 really grinded my gears with Christian Wilkins. Man, oh man, I wanted him to go to the Falcons so bad. I wanted that motherfucker so goddamn bad. And you and I were on the phone when this happened. Both of us were like, no. And then I said to you, I said, man, the only reason they're not drafting Haskins here is they've got to be trading for Rosen on day two. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And look, looking at what the Dolphins did now, in hindsight, because again, it's 2020, the Dolphins had a great draft, man. If you can trade for Rosen for virtually nothing, get Christian Wilkins, a leader of a defense who's going to be a leader of a defense for many years to come, it's a brilliant move, man. So kudos to the Dolphins, as pissed as I am about it. It's a great move, man. And I did hear through the grapevine that that Wilkins was the top player for the Falcons. Did you just sneeze into the microphone, Dan?
I sneezed over my shoulder, but it probably made its way in there. It was a pretty aggressive sneeze. I'm known for my aggressive sneezing.
You are. And then the Falcons drafted Chris Lindstrom, the offensive guard out of Boston College at pick 14. I was so excited about that. I tried to suck my own dick. That's how unexcited I was about that pick. The air was
well, you
deflated
know what?
After the Christian
I hear you. I understand Wilkinson would have been a better pickup, especially after most of the Falcons defense spent all of last year in the hospital. Yeah. But, keeping your quarterback upright seems to be an important part of football. So this guy was the best offensive guard / tackle in the fucking draft.
It does, man, but I'll call him like I see him. This is my favorite team, and this is like walking into an ice cream store, and when they're going to tell you all the flavors, you just go, nope, I'll take vanilla. Oh, you don't want to hear what else we have? Nope, I'll take fucking vanilla. And that's this guy. I agree with you. I think, Ryan got, sacked 48 times or something crazy last year. They got to keep him upright. it's fine. And I know this kid is great, and I'm sure he'll be an amazing offensive guard. I just, it's just such a snooze pick, especially when my dream guy went literally the pick before. This reminded me of a fantasy football draft where I was like, oh, that's the guy. And then just ripped from my clutches. All of my pearls.
No, I get it. Were ripped. I get it. Wilkins is he's a very dynamic player. I mean, he's probably going to be around for 10 years, that guy.
Yeah, and look, I probably Chris Lindstrom will as well, man. I mean, he's one of those dudes, you know, just a big honky pushing people around. He'll be there. At 15, Dwayne Haskins. This was an absolute steal and dream for the Redskins that even them, there's no way they envision this happening. Congrats to the Redskins. The sad part is he plays for the Redskins, and he'll probably break both of his legs in an hour.
Yes.
So sign that contract.
I think we should have it's kind of too late to do it now because of all the shit going on in Kansas City right now, but I would like to do some kind of prop bet at some point to see who's going to get hit first by which curse. Is it going to be the Drake curse or the Redskins quarterback curse or the fucking Madden cover curse that strikes first in 2020?
Well, we lost that one because it was the Madden curse. I mean, Jesus Christ.
In 2019, yeah, let's do 2020 next year. we'll do that. We'll see who gets fucked over first.
Exactly.
And if you guys can think of any other popular base or sports curses out there that we might run into, put it in the group, and we'll fucking come up with a prop bet for next year, which one's going to strike first.
For sure, for sure. After Haskins was Brian Burns from Florida State. He went to Carolina. That pick is fine. Dexter Lawrence from Clemson, went to the Giants, who had another pick up there. I like the Dexter Lawrence pick. He was great.
I feel like he should have gone way higher than that.
After Wilkins didn't go to the Falcons, I thought the Falcons would have swooped in and taken Lawrence. They didn't. This pick isn't bad for the Giants, but, you know, again, for what? You have nothing really going on your team anymore except for Saquon Barkley. Garrett Bradbury, the center out of NC State, was at 18 to the Minnesota Vikings. That's fine. Jeffrey Simmons.
That's another pick where they just want to fucking – they feel like they've got the weapons already. They're just trying to keep people upright at this point.
And I agree, man. I think they do in Minnesota. That pick is fine. Jeffrey Simmons, strange pick for me, especially the draft was in Nashville. Everybody's hyped up, and then you pick a guy with a torn ACL who's not going to play for you this year. That's a weird one, man. Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I'm not sure. Like, everybody wanted to be excited in Nashville. By the way, that crowd was hyped. Fucking 150,000. Streets were flooded. Everybody's going bug fuck. And then they pick the guy with a torn ACL who's not even going to play next year. Strange one for me. Next up.
You got to wonder if he would have gone in the first round at all if they hadn't picked him.
I don't think he would have. I think he would have gone maybe end of – maybe to the Rams or somebody, like end of this round. You know, a team that's stacked and that doesn't have to worry about it, but not this soon.
Yeah.
That's going to fuck over the Titans. Noah Fant went to Denver Broncos, man. The Broncos, Elway, eating apples through that chain link fence. They surprised me here because we said that they would trade up and get Drew Lock at 10. They did not. They ended up trading their pick, knowing something we didn't. Elway, man, must have been snacking because they got Drew Lock in the second round, which was a steal. And then they got Noah Fant in that trade, which, you know, another great tight end out of Iowa. Man, the Broncos did exactly what they should have done, man. That was
a very, very disciplined pick that they made. I'm proud of him. You know, I had a dream the other night that it was a couple years ago and Elway was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he gave his speech and then he said, you know, he's like, hey, I just wanted to thank everybody that's helped me along the way, my coaches, my teammates, general managers, and now my staff with the Denver Broncos, but most importantly, I want to thank my family. And you look out into the crowd and his mom stands up and then right beside her is a horse who's his dad because that's what his fucking teeth look like.
His dentist was there too, the guy who did his veneers. And that was a nice surprise.
And then the guy who replaces the chain link fence once he chews through it is also there.
Yeah, the fence guy was there.
and then some guy with a bucket of apples.
Yeah, just getting ready to refeed. Feed him in there to old Elway. But they did because
you don't want to fucking you don't want to catch Elway without apples. He gets fucking furious. No. He's killed thousands of people.
Once those veneers scrape against that metal gate, dude, it's lights out. Just drop the apple and go, my man. Watch out for your hand. Watch out for your fucking
keep your hand,
hand
flat. You got to keep your hand flat. You'll lose a finger.
Flat and tight, dude. Keep all eyes on Elway and let him have eyes on you. Let him get that apple and get the fuck out of there, dude. Protect your digits, brother. Next up, Darnell Savage Jr., the safety from Maryland for Green Bay. All right, great. Good for you, man. You're trying to still not give Aaron Rodgers any weapons. A running back probably would have been my suggestion there, but...
God, something, man. What the fuck?
I don't believe Aaron Jones is that dude. This is where you should have gone up and maybe gotten Josh Jacobs if you were going to try to help him out for real.
He was right there. Like, again, that makes me think that something's going on with Rodgers. Like, he wants to fucking leave or something. I know he just signed an extension, but, like, how... It doesn't make any sense to me that they beefed up the defense and didn't do shit for him on offense.
No, it's strange, man. Offensive tackle Andre Dillard to the Eagles. Eagles, man, they've made all the right moves this season. I've got them as a playoff team, and I think they got a shot to get back to the Super Bowl if Wentz stays healthy. Houston, Titus Howard. Offensive tackle out of Alabama State. Don't know what their competition is like, but I know the SEC plays them every single week in Division II. Good luck. I don't know anything about Titus Howard. Never got to see Alabama State play. Oh, that's right, because they're in Division II and only the SEC plays them. Josh Jacobs ended up going to the Raiders at 24. And then this was our...
I thought that was a good pick.
Too, and you know, this was our pick, too, on the show. 25 was Marquise Brown to Oklahoma, the wide receiver, Hollywood Brown. Both you and I called that. And, you know, look, they're trying to give homeboy some weapons, so they must believe in him. So we'll see what happens. Lamar Jackson.
Oh, that Josh Jacobs pick is actually bringing up two more pieces of breaking news here.
Really?
One is that Marshawn Lynch is retiring.
Yeah. That I figured, man. I mean, he was, what, 32, 33? Yeah. I don't think they want to pick up.
Yeah, no surprise there. The other piece of breaking news is Sebastian Janikowski, who... Man, he's had a long and storied career after some problems in college. Like, he kicked well in college, but he also did a bunch of GHB, apparently.
Yeah, he did at Florida State. Yeah.
So, yeah, for those of you that don't know, you can do GHB, which is a date rape drug, recreationally. Yeah. I may or may not have done that frequently.
Yeah, we've all dabbled.
It's a great time, but he had a great career. Yeah, it's bad, really bad. He had a great career.
He was one of the first kickers that I remember being on the cover of Sports Illustrated and also drafted in the first round, and he actually lived up to it. He played for 19 seasons and was probably, because I don't know, they don't take too many kickers in the Hall of Fame, but I would say you got to consider him, and then most definitely Vinatieri's in. But those two guys were fucking animals.
Yeah, for sure.
That ended up being a great pick. Years and years and years ago that they made fun of, but good on Janikowski. Seabass is retiring. Enjoy the off season. I'm sure he's doing Molly mixed with promethazine right now as we speak somewhere. So
yeah, well, good for him, man. He's on the lean now, pretty much forever for the rest of his life. I'm proud of him.
And they said, because I looked up his salary, man, they said he cleared about $38 million in his career. So good for him, man. That's a fucking baller ass bank account for a kicker, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Next up, Montez Sweat the Redskins. Look,
that's a
great
pick,
man. The Redskins had a really good draft. All of these players fell to them somehow. I had Montez Sweat going higher. He was still on the board. Look, I don't know if it's the Redskins drafting grade or these great players were just still on the board somehow. But they got him. Raiders go with Jonathan Abram at 27.
That's another great pick, by the way. That's the best defensive back in the fucking draft.
Yeah.
They got Clelin Ferrell and Jonathan Abram and Josh Jacobs. It's not a bad first round.
Look, Mel Kiper Jr. and those guys swear that the Raiders are going to the playoffs this year and that last year was a fluke and Antonio Brown and Carr is going to be amazing. So, look, I could have shit on the Raiders prematurely, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's not the... I think the Raiders in general will be fine. I just don't think, like, there were so many other people other than Farrell they could have taken with the 4 pick, like any of the fucking dudes that play defensive tackle or defensive end that we've listed so far that seem better than him, but maybe it's a question of the system they're planning on running. I don't know yet. Who knows?
Giants, DeAndre Baker at 30. Jerry Tillery went to at 28 to the fucking Chargers. We said they would take somebody from defense. They did. Snooze fest. LJ Collier went to the Seahawks. Snoozy McDaniels. RIP to Doug Baldwin. Doesn't look like he's going to be able to make it back, but they were able to get DK Metcalf in the second round. So as much as it pains me to say, it's a great pickup for Seattle, I think. And they'll probably be in contention again, even though I hate watching them play. DeAndre Baker, great pick for the Giants there. Still need a lot of help.
Yep.
Still need a lot of help, but DeAndre Baker's going to be great. Caleb McGarry from Washington, the offensive tackle at Washington for the Falcons at 31. That was a fucking reach. I thought that was a bad pickup for me personally. I think you could have got him.
He grades out at 76. Yeah, I think they could have got him in the third. Probably the late second round.
Yeah, late second, third. I don't know. Look, man, I'm not a big fan of what the Falcons did this draft. I would probably give them a B- overall. And then N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, the wide receiver, is a beast. Fantasy sleeper for me. I'm going with 8 touchdowns in fantasy, I think. I think he's the big play threat that they're missing right now. And, if Josh Gordon even plays, congratulations. Then you got the two of those guys. It's going to be awesome. But if he doesn't, man.
Well, he's 6'2". He's big for a receiver. I mean, not height-wise. He's 6'2". 6'2 is pretty average for a receiver, 6 foot to 6'3". But he's 230 pounds, which is not average for a wideout. And his everything about his play in college says that he's a fucking 50-50 ball guy. Like the size speed combination is very similar to, although he doesn't play tight end, it's very similar to a Gronkowski style profile. A guy you can throw the ball up in the air to and he'll go get it. A guy who can muscle other guys off the ball and stuff like that. So maybe that's why they didn't go, because a lot of people are hammering the Patriots for not doing enough in this draft to address their tight end issue. Maybe that's why they're not really concerned about it, because of the way this guy
maybe
plays.
Maybe. Two surprises for me, and then we'll get to your biggest surprises. Rakia Sin from Temple. I had him going in the first round. Juwan Taylor, man, from Florida. I had him going in the first round as well. They slid to the second. The Colts and the Jaguars, respectively, got steals there, so good for them. Colts had a great draft. And they're going to have a really good goddamn team next year, man. If Andrew Luck stays healthy, who is the, and then Greedy Williams, dude, at fucking to the Browns at number 46. I had him in the first round. I had Greedy Williams in the first round. I don't know how the Browns got him in the second, but man, is that Browns team sexy?
Yeah, they got lucky.
Who is the most surprising pick to you in this draft besides out of the first round?
Out of the first round, definitely the most surprising pick was Daniel Jones. But aside from that, I agree with you, Greedy Williams. I thought he was going to be a first-round pick. I thought Drew Locke would be in the first round, too,
to
be honest.
I did, too, man, because there was a lack of quarterbacks, and I thought all three of them would have been taken. I had the over-under on my bookie. Yeah. It was 2.5 in the first round, and I had the over on that and lost because of that.
And I also thought DK Metcalf would go in the late first round somewhere, just because I thought more receivers would be taken. And then the other thing that surprised me, and it may explain that Farrell pick at 4, it looks like John Gruden just called the Clemson defensive coordinators like, hey, can I just draft all your guys? Because he drafted fucking, how many players did they draft from Clemson?
I get it, man. Watching them play last year, I would have done the same thing. Yeah. I would have done the same thing.
He drafted Farrell and Trayvon Mullen, who was one of the better.
Yeah, same with those Michigan kids, backs. Dude. With Bush and Gary, like I understand it, man. Michigan's defense was great too. Yeah, DK Metcalf went at the end of the second round, the last pick of the second round. That one was surprising to me. And then the other one was I had Mike Weber Jr. out of Ohio State, and this is not a homer pick. He rushed for 1,000 yards, and he was a hard fucking runner. Reminds me of Ezekiel Elliott, probably because he played with Ezekiel Elliott. That was his mentor. Didn't end up going until like the 6th round. And ironically, he got drafted by the Cowboys to be the backup of Ezekiel Elliott. So, I saw that kid play every fucking down he played in college, man. And he's great. Him and Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell went where I thought he should have in the second. But I had Mike Weber in the third, man. Somewhere up there. Or, you know, again, you're short on running backs. Like, somebody drafted up for him.
I thought Paris Campbell would go early in the second round. I didn't think he was going to go like like three quarters of the way down the board.
No, and he went to the round, Colts. But, I mean, God, what a great draft for the Colts, man. They're going to be a fun team.
Oh, they fucking they're the only team that got an A grade from Mel Kiper. So, honestly, they're probably the sleeper team for this year. If you can call them a sleeper
team. I would, man. If you're going to pick a sleeper team at mybookie.com to put in the Super Bowl, I'm going to throw some money on it for sure, man. On the Colts. Everybody's betting on the Browns, so I'm probably going to shy away from that one. But if you're looking for somebody under the radar with big odds, I would say the Colts, man. It's going to be a fun team to watch. And if Brady's age is declining, Steelers are, obviously in rebuild mode, and we'll see what happens with the Browns if they can put all the pieces together. That's a sexy pick, man, if you're going to bet now on who's going to be in the Super Bowl next year. I'm going to throw ducats on it.
I'll tell you what, having watched Paris Campbell all year in person and, on television as well, he might be the next Tyreek Hill in the NFL. His lateral speed across the field is fucking crazy. That dude is so goddamn fast.
Yeah.
I mean,
he
runs those same style routes too, and they're primarily going to be lining him up in the slot, it seems, based on some of the reports I've been reading. So he's going to be fucking running all over the goddamn
place.
Picture
Percy Harvin, and you've got Andrew Luck throwing to him. That's going to be a fun team, man. I'm looking forward to watching some Colts games next year. I like Indianapolis, man. I went there for the Big Ten championship this year. That's a fun city too, man. We got a bunch of people who listen to the show up there. D'Anthony.
Yeah, we're actually going to go hook up with one of your other favorite podcasters soon.
Pat McAfee. So we've been in talks with him, and we're going to be on the show soon, and vice versa. And we're looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to next week, D'Anthony. We're going to have some answers in the NBA and the NHL. This was an awesome show, man. What a great week of sports. I enjoyed all of it except for that Vegas Golden Knights call. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com now. Again, any deposit from 100 all the way to 3,000 automatically doubles. Bet the Colts. For D'Anthony, I got murder on my mind. Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. We're the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.